In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
So I had the opportunity this week to spend a couple days in Milwaukee to celebrate our son Ben's college graduation. We went to this restaurant and sat on the porch, and besides me and Ben, there was Ben's sweetheart Kira, plus Rachel Ottinger, who also lives in Milwaukee. Now our waitress, a great server by the way, her name was Katie, comes to take our order. And I notice she has a tattoo on her right arm of this phrase. It said, "It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us." Totally took me by surprise. Our light frightens us and not our darkness. Now usually, we think the opposite. I certainly did. Usually we think of being frightened by what's dark in us and drawn to what is light. But this phrase turns that on its head. This phrase says it's the light, the brightness, that is what is most frightening. So after the waitress left the table, the four of us had no small discussion about what that means. Two immediate questions came up. First of all, is that even true? And then second, if it is true, why would it be true? Why would we be more comfortable with our darkness, and why would we be afraid of light? So after a long discussion, eventually it dawned on us that these questions are answered in today's gospel reading. Jesus comes to the miraculous pool at Bethesda, where he encounters a man who had been paralyzed, now ready for this number, 38 years. 38 years. He never gets into the miraculous pool first, of course, because being paralyzed, someone always is going to get in before him, so he can't ever be the first one in order to be healed. So Jesus singles this man out and asks this paralyzed man a most interesting question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Now, why ask that question? I mean, the guy's been lying there 38 years, apparently trying to get into the pool first. Isn't it obvious that he wants to be healed? Or is it? Or is it? The same question could be asked about Aeneas, the man bedridden for 8 years that Sherry read about from the book of Acts, the one that Peter healed. Yet the message on the server's arm lines up with the Lord's question, do you want to be healed, more than what one might first think? Is it possible that we're more afraid of the light than we are of the dark, and why? Is that why Jesus asks this odd question? Now, so just work with me for a minute. Either paralyzed man, the one we heard about in the gospel or from the book of Acts, either one of those two, if they are healed, they will suddenly lose their income, right? When you're a beggar because you're paralyzed, you can't beg anymore once you can walk. You're going to have to get a job. He'll lose his license to complain. He'll have that nothing to complain about. He'll lose his upper hand at exacting the pity from others. It's kind of nice after 38 years to expect pity. That's going away. He'll lose all the excuses he's relied on. In one case, 8 years. In the other case, 38 years. Your excuses are suddenly taken away from you. If Jesus heals him, or Peter in the case of Aeneas, they will be, in a word, responsible. They will be responsible. And that is the light that can be quite frightening, to be responsible. Sometimes it's a lot easier to say, I can't, than to say, I can, but be afraid. And that's why Jesus asks the question, do you want to be healed? Do you really want the ability? Do you really want the change? Do you really want the responsibility? Do you really want the light? Or are you too afraid of what the light means? The claim that the light will make on your life. And this is about something physical, the ability to walk in this case. What about the things that really matter? What about the things that are more eternal? What about the things that are spiritual? Do we really want to be healed of those things? Let's take an example. We'll take a simple one first. We all get in a critical mood once in a while, right? But we probably all know somebody who is a constant critic. Somebody who's just, no matter what happens, they find a way to criticize it. Now, maybe if you ask them why they're so critical all the time, maybe they'd say, I've always been this way. Or maybe they'd say, it's just who I am. Or I learned it at my mother's knees or my father's knees or a teacher's knees. Whatever it is, maybe they'll say, 38 years I've been this way. I can't change now. If Jesus were to ask them, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed of the need to criticize? And I don't mean to be a pessimist. I'm not sure they're all going to say yes, to be honest. I'm not sure they're all going to want that. The darkness of being the world's critic has a certain tang to it that they may not want to lose. It's familiar. It's comfortable. It makes them feel powerful, even though they know deep down it doesn't actually work that way. I mean, leaving a trail of heartache in your path is not power, but to them it might feel that way. And being a critic might even be part of their self-identity. And giving all that up and coming to the light might be awfully scary for them. How am I going to look at the world now? Another example. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, there's a man plagued by lust. In the story, lust is represented by a creepy lizard that sits on his shoulder and whispers in his ear. His guardian angel comes along and asks him if he wants to be healed. Same question. Do you want to be healed? The angel says, I can take that lizard and kill it for you. The man hesitates. Now, while he doesn't really like the lizard, he's embarrassed by the lizard. He knows the harm the lizard has caused in his life and in other people's lives. He's all used to it. After a lifetime of that lizard, he's used to the darkness. He's not sure he wants to live without it. He's not sure he wants to give up that lizard yet, and so he hesitates. We could go through this exercise with sin after sin after sin, and we would come up with the same answer. We don't always want to let go because the darkness is familiar and the light can be scary, which means the message on that server's arm is often correct. We are more frightened by the light than by the darkness. Because light and darkness are incompatible. And to accept the light means we have to completely give up what is dark, with its excuses, its habits, its tang, its license to complain, its harm, its laziness, its familiarity, its remembrance of past wrongs, and maybe even a part of our old identity. You know, darkness is the feeling of power with no actual power. And darkness breaks everything in its path, including you. But we're still sometimes afraid to let go. But the light is real power. The light is real love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And it is the power to put those things to work in this world. And that frightens a lot of people because of the claim that that light makes on you once you accept it. And so Jesus gives you a choice. He won't force his light on you. It's offered, but it's not forced. But once his light is on, once his light is burning, the darkness is done for. Because when you add light to darkness, the darkness is gone. You can't keep any of it. And so we realize the question Jesus asks the paralyzed man, it's everything. It's by far the biggest question he's ever been asked. And it's among the most important questions you'll ever have to answer for yourself. Do you really want to be healed? Amen.